Hi, my name's Russell Norman and welcome to Blue Marble Storytellers, bringing you great stories from around the globe. On this episode, we bring you a great story from Jay McKenzie called Only a Month. Jay is a great writer who has been shortlisted on the Readsy Prompts writing competition and was also recently a finalist in the Globe Soup Story Writing Challenge. So please enjoy this sad but powerful story about personal relationships and a challenging family situation. February 14, 2011. Daddy, why can't I brush my teeth with a sword? I laugh and ruffle Riku's hair. Because you'd chop all your teeth out, I reckon. Daddy, do they have toothbrushes in Japan? My smile stays fixed. I blink. Yes, Riku, they have toothbrushes in Japan. He burrows under the duvet, dark hair fanning out over his Peppa Pig pillow. I battle the urge to climb in there with him, to build a cocoon and never come out. He yawns, baring his crooked teeth like a baby lion. Do they have daddies in Japan? I nod. Then why can't you come? Daddy has to work. I parrot the lie. Good night, pumpkin. I kiss the soft plane of his forehead, already succumbing to the heavy beauty of sleep. I flick off the bedside lamp, leaving the rotating nightlight to bravely face the dark alone. Tiny yellow stars circle the walls, skittering softly across his smooth skin. I love you more than anything, I whisper into the night. Bags and cases lie drunkenly on top of one another in the hallway. My wife crouches by the pile, spine ramrod straight, attaching a label to a cheap, overstuffed valise. Only a month, you say? I attempt a small laugh. Akiko gives me a withering stare. She pushes herself to her feet and passes me, heading for the kitchen. I hesitate and then follow. She pulls a bottle of Sauv Blanc from the fridge and raises a questioning eyebrow at me. Yes, please. The wine is crisp, almost icy, sliding down my constricted throat like melted butter. I perch on a stool. Akiko remains standing, left palm spread across the breakfast bar. She's staring into the night beyond the kitchen window, a tiny twitch pulsing through her right eye. I'll miss you both, I blurt. Her voice is curt, efficient, the one she uses at work. It's only a month, Daniel. Daniel? Not Danny? Not even Dan? Daniel? When did she start calling me that? She's still staring out of the window, but the twitch has stopped. She drinks two, three tiny sips at a time, then a swallow, which I can see moving down her thin neck. Her hair is falling out of a bun at her nape, reminding me of an off-duty ballerina. It's important that Riku gets time with his Japanese family. It's a rehearsed line, one she said repeatedly for the past few weeks while we waited for the passport office to turn those little boy mugshots into his ticket to the world. And you? I just need time. The fridge hums. I swallow a gulp of wine, the sound almost too loud. I'm scared you won't come back. There, I've said it. The thing that's jolted me awake are like falling off a cliff every night for the past 6 weeks. Akiko looks at me straight on. We'll come back. Her face softens. She tilts her head to the side in, what is that, pity? I take a step towards her, brush my fingers across the pale absent loop around her finger. She gently lifts her hand from the counter, turns and walks away. I watch her back, the small, even steps that don't disturb the serenity of her upper body, the hand cupping her wine glass to her shoulder. When she turns to walk up the stairs, I fold myself in half, sinking to the floor, trying to make the choke as silent as I can. I wrap my arms around my head. I stay there, listening to the tread of her feet on the stairs, the soft hush of the shower and eventually the click of the door closing on what used to be our guest room. In my mind, I walk through her nightly ritual, slipping into her pajamas, running a comb, never a brush, through her hair, stretching her arms above her head and tilting side to side before sliding between the covers. There, she'll sit completely upright, eyes closed, meditating for 5, maybe 10 minutes before flicking off the bedside lamp. She'll lie on her back and be asleep within seconds, as efficient in sleep as in walking. I count to 50, then I count 50 more just to be sure. I switch off all the lights downstairs and head up. The only light upstairs comes from Riku's room. I head for it like one of the three wise men following the trajectory of the stars. Inside, I pull Riku's little wooden chair to the bedside and sit upon it. My buttocks spill over the sides of the chair, designed for tiny bottoms, not those of a 36-year-old man. It's as uncomfortable as I'd hoped it would be, and I settle in, arranging my legs like those of a folding deck chair to keep myself balanced. Riku makes sniffing noises. One arm is thrown back over his head and the other is crooked around Jamu's neck. His face is pressed into the motley, patchy fur covering the teddy bear and his mouth is slightly open. I listen to his breath, a soft phew, as he exhales. Gently I cup my palm against Riku's cheek. Even in the flittering starlight, I marvel at the milkiness of his skin, no traces of the kisses left by the fierce Australian sun. I picture my bright, barefoot little man bundled up in the jackets and sweaters his mother had bought him for the trip. His bewildered face as he has to put on more than one layer in the morning. I try to envisage him walking down the bustling city streets, cramming into overheated Sendai subway cars, eating nakugaja in a dilapidated boxy apartment that Akiko's parents live in, but it's too hard. He rolls onto his side, pushing my hand under his head so that his cheeks nestle against the mounds and tracks of my palm. I smile. Universe, I call for lack of religious figure to ask for help. I'll give you anything if you make this night last forever. I close my eyes. I'll never sleep again, starting now, if you keep him here with me. It doesn't seem enough somehow, but then I catch myself. Only a month, Dan, only a month. I open my eyes and stare at my beautiful boy. I will watch him sleep, I think, until the sun rises. Then I'll take them to the airport while he's taken away from me for a whole month. Only a month, Dan. Only a month. We trust you enjoyed this story, and we really appreciate you listening to this podcast and supporting the great writers featured. To further support the writers, we'd also like to encourage you to share the links to this podcast far and wide. If you're a writer and you'd like to showcase your work or talk to us about your writing on Read Lots, Write Lots, we'd love to hear from you. Please get in touch with us by sending an email to russell@bmpublish.com. If you'd like to stay in touch with what we're doing here at Blue Marble Storytellers or Read Lots, Write Lots, including upcoming events, news about great stories and various other things, please sign up to our newsletter at either website. I'd also like to mention, we've started a new Discord chat channel to provide a place for writers to meet, chat, laugh, cry, and generally have fun in a supportive environment in which to share their love of writing. If you'd like to join our chat channel, you can find the details on either website, readlotswritelots.com or bluemarblestorytellers.com. Well, that's it for this episode. So on behalf of Deidre and myself, until next time, thanks for listening, and bye for now.